Aren't you thankful for the peace of Christ, which can make it well with our soul? In this world we live in and all the things that we have to face, when we watch the news, we can become very discouraged, can't we? Think about the events of this week, shootings and all these things that have happened. Man, it's easy to become discouraged, but we can have peace in our heart when we know Christ. We're so thankful for it. Let's go to the Lord of peace, and let's go to him in prayer right now. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, that we can set everything else aside, that we can come into your house along with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship you freely. Thank you, Father, for designing us this way, for setting aside a day that we can come and worship you. That becomes the most important thing of the day. We need this, Father. We need to just stop, and we need to come into your presence, and we need to listen to you. We need to worship you. We need to be encouraged by one another. So, Father God, I pray. I just thank you, Lord, for designing this day this way. But, Lord God, we come to you today with heavy hearts. As I just mentioned, we think about all the events of this week. Father God, our nation needs you. We are in desperate need of revival. We need you. Father God, I pray that you would just fill our land with your presence. I pray that you would help us to repent, to change our evil ways, Father God. Lord, I pray for our leaders on a state level, local level, national level. I pray that each of them, Father God, would have an experience, an encounter with you, that they would turn, if they don't know you already, they would turn their hearts over to you, Father God, and they would lead us and lead our nation in a way that pleases you, Father. Lord God, I pray that you would bring healing to those families who've lost loved ones this week. May that peace that I spoke of be a reality in their lives. And that only comes from you, only comes from a relationship with you. So, Father God, I pray that you would move and work. Lord, I pray you'd be with those in our own congregation who are facing or who are recovering from illness or who are facing procedures. Tom Stone, I know, is having surgery tomorrow. Would you be with him? May that procedure just go perfectly according to plan. And, Lord, I know there are others, Father God, who are facing things that are just big things, heavy to bear. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just go to them, and that your peace would just reign supreme in their lives. That they would feel your peace and comfort. That they would know that you have this, that you are in control. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would just be with everybody. Whatever the need may be, it may be a physical need, may be a financial need, may be a relationship that needs to be healed, Father. I pray, Lord God, that they would give those things to you. And Lord, that you would be faithful as you are. And you would meet those needs, that you would bring healing, bring help, whatever it is that's needed. But most of all, Father God, we just want to praise you today. To be able to say it is well with my soul is not a small thing. So, Father God, thank you for the reality of that. And Lord, if there be some here today that really can't say that honestly, Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they would come to know you as the loving Savior. Father God, I pray that everything that's said and done in this place today would bring you glory and honor and praise. We love you, Father. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I had to put the address back in the church to figure out where I was going today. It feels like it's been forever since I've been here. I've missed you guys. And I miss being here. I want to first say thank you to Jay for stepping up, and he did an awesome job. I watched every Sunday with you guys. I was there worshiping with you guys, and Jay did a great job. You know, we take things for granted sometimes, right, as a church, and I tell you, the worship band did an awesome job. The tech team did an awesome job, and being able to sit in my basement by myself and watch that, it's an awesome thing to be a part of that we can reach inside the homes on a Sunday morning when people can't be here, when we live through a pandemic and we figure out as a body, how can we reach out to them still? And that's a cool thing, and I thank God for those gifts and those abilities of the people to use that for that. So again, thank you so much for being here. Now that saying, I missed my first Easter as a senior pastor. That's going down in the records, right? Only, I feel like within my case, only me. You know, it happens, right? My wife made fun of me and sent me down in the basement and said, okay, good luck for the next 2 weeks, right? And then I know, woe is me, right? Right? There's no windows in our basement, too, so I didn't know what time it was, really. And I was already living in that COVID fog. Like, I couldn't tell you how many days, really. It felt like years. I think my wife was telling me, hey, you got another 3 days, like, for 3 days straight. Like, just, it was relaxing for her. And then, of course, Jackson got it, but he got it easy. He was no symptoms. He was healthy, and he just got to hang down in the basement, which he preferred. To be away from all the family and play video games, and you know, like there was no watching over him. He's like, I'll cough on you. I'm like, okay, all right. Anyway, so just glad to be back. Just to let you know, the COVID fog like is real. I tried to get ahead, tried to read and get ready for the next couple of sermons and get my thought processes for the future. And I would read one page and go, where's Waldo? Like, I could not figure out what I was reading. So, like, it was just, it was annoying, you know? You just lived in this basement, constant confusion kind of deal. I knew where I was. I knew what was going on. But it was just like, I couldn't retain anything. So that saying, this sermon could be all over the board, just to let you know, all right? So I'm setting that preface here. Man, Ben, I don't know about this. Woo, he's back. Anyway, so we're going to be going through Genesis 2, the creation story. And you know, this was supposed to be a four-week-long sermon of starting at Easter and being alive and talk about Jesus' resurrection and us being the resurrected life. And Jay did a great job with that. And then he did something, too, that is so godly, right? He gave a sermon basically like I was going to give on that Sunday about hope. And taking hope. And God's so funny like that. When we're connected to Holy Spirit, like, the Spirit works that way, right? And last week, he talked about if you feel hopeless, right, all you need is knowing that God is the resurrection. That God is the God that gives us hope to live a life that is found without sin. Right? And if we take that and know that we are found in that, guess what happens? We find hope and we live in hope, even in the most hopeless moments, right? And this week, I was going to go through what it looked like the very first time that we were alive as mankind, right? And if you follow along, I'm going to give you like a brief synopsis of Genesis 2. I'm not going to sit and read it because you would all fall asleep, and I too. We'll probably fall asleep if I read it to you. But I thought, you know, the very first beginning of chapter 2, God takes a nap. He just relaxed. He had just done everything from chapter 1 where he just created everything, and on the seventh day, he rested. It's kind of cool to know that our God intentionally took time to rest. In a world that we live in today where it's fast-paced, go, 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 need to get this done, need to get this done, guess what? You need to take a rest. And if you don't, guess what starts to happen to you? You start to be drained. And not just physically and emotionally, but spiritually. You get drained. And you get less peace around you. Honestly. So God, if God takes a rest, guess what? I think we need to take like 3-day rest. If God's taking 1 day, I'm an advocate for a 3-day weekend. I don't know about anybody you. I'm not trying to be lazy. Oh, I got a couple. All right, all right, all right. Not the only one. Some of these other ones that are like A-type. I need work. I need to be out there, right? And then you have God coming down. And we've already had all this creation going on, right? And chapter 2 is kind of interesting because it's the second creation story. You get a first creation story, and then you get another version of the creation story. And you have God coming down playing in the mud and forming us, forming mankind. And then he has this moment where he breathes into the nostrils of man. And he's alive. That's such an intimate moment. And that word right there, breathe, can be translated into spirit. That is God's spirit being breathed into, and the first heartbeat of humanity was right there. Can you imagine that? That's the Holy Spirit living and bringing life in that moment. Now, we're going to come back to that, all right? I want to kind of focus on that today, but I want to kind of get through the rest of what God did. He created the garden, and he made this beautiful place for Adam to be and tend to. Like, he didn't just put him there and go, hey, build a hammock and relax. He said to Adam, hey, I'm building this so you can serve it, that you can protect it. And then also, guess what you get to do? You get to name everything. It's kind of a cool job, right? Can you imagine being able to go around and just start naming things? I've had two kids, and I didn't really get to name them because my names got rejected, right? But I came up with Jackson. That was the first one. My wife, okay, that's not dumb. So yes, we can do Jackson, right? And then Natalie came along, and I think we were pretty quick together on Natalie. I don't know. No, we weren't. Okay. I agreed to Natalie. I wanted Sebastian for Jackson, so I can call him Bash, right? Not that kid anyway. Like, imagine that. Like, it just, names kind of define who you are somewhat, right? Can you imagine that? Step back. You get to name another human being as a parent. Think about that. That's nowhere else. You don't get to go outside and go, okay, this is now a duck, and it barks. Can you imagine that? Like, that's your thing. That's God gave us this power over our world that we are called to as followers of Christ to protect and to serve it, to tend to it, to make sure it is healthy, to make sure it is vibrant, to make sure it is loved, that we have ownership over this. God gave that to us. Right? He didn't just put us on this earth to have a relationship just with him. He put us on this earth to have a relationship with each other and the things around us and to show the love that he just breathed into us and it be exhaled to everything else. That our spirit is the image of God on everything. Right? He has called us to be a creator just like him. And then an interesting part starts to happen. In this garden, he builds two trees, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, right? And as I studied this, the knowledge that they had was not so much the same thought process of knowledge for us. Knowledge for us is like, it is fact, it is science, it is something that's proven, something that I've learned in school, something that has transformed, that I heard, right? And I took in, or I read and I took in. Knowledge for them was awareness. So they experienced it. And so for them, it was like knowledge meant I took it in and I experienced what was going on. So yeah, I can tell you what jump roping is, right? But for them to tell you what jump roping is, they would be up here with the jump rope and doing it. Be kind of weird, right? But that's how they had to explain their knowledge. They had to experience it. And so within this, you have this, in this garden, these two options. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God says to them, listen, stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I don't know about you. The first couple of times I read this through as a kid, I thought, God, why would you even put that there? Life would be so much better right now to not even have that as a choice. If we could have just been perfect from day one and you not putting there, why would you tempt us with that? Right? I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I just wanted to like set that right there. Then you have the four rivers, which is kind of cool, that are flowing from the garden, and they're flowing out, and they're lush, right? And that's kind of like an example of who God is. Like, everything flows from him. He's so intentional in this. And the writers are so intentional about how God is with us. And you have these four major rivers that are just flowing out. It's kind of cool. And then you have, you know, God could tell Adam needed somebody. He was in this moment that, and it was good with him and God, but he needed something. So he started giving him the job to name everybody, but he also made him those things companions, but recognized those animals weren't enough for him. He needed another one of him. So he put him in deep sleep, and he took a rib, and he made a woman. And Adam woke up and was like, whoa, man. Right? Got one. I know, it was a dad joke. All right. Right? I'm in a fog. All right? But he made a woman, and Adam was like, this is right. And loved her as a wife. Right? And that was the first time. And what's crazy about this, and I know there, we got young ears, there was no shame. There was no shame. So the things that would shame us today, they didn't even think about that, right? Which is so cool. No power of sin at that moment. Can you imagine a world that we live in right now that sin wasn't prevalent? The news would be so much different. The chaos around us wouldn't be chaotic at all. We would live in that hope without even having to strive to hope in it. Right? And that was God's design. I want to talk really quick about the breath of God and being alive for the first time. And I don't want you to do this, but if I told you stop breathing, take a big breath in and stop breathing. No, you wouldn't listen to me, and it just wouldn't be healthy. And if you did stop breathing and you couldn't breathe anymore, we would have the other issues. It's involuntary that we breathe. Like, your brain doesn't have to necessarily say, okay, Ben, take in breath. Now, during COVID, it was kind of weird. For me, it was a little bit different. I didn't have necessarily the respiratory issues. I felt like I had a Jackson just sitting on my chest. All right? He's a bigger kid, but I felt like I could still breathe, but I could feel it kind of, okay. Others have had it different, right? Where they've had to have help with that breathing. Can you imagine spiritually if we didn't breathe and take in God's Spirit? See, the very first time God breathed, and what was there? There was life. This dust, this thing that God created with his hands and just said, okay, this dust and this mud, okay, this is being created in my image. And I breathed into it, and it gave life. And it was there, and it was breathing in and out from that point on. Like, that was the initial, and it was God's Spirit, right? The moment I asked Jesus Christ in my life, the moment I asked him to forgive me of all my sins, the moment that I became alive again in my spirit, guess who breathed into me? God. He resurrected my life from death. I was born again. And I was able to walk around with different eyes, a different mindset, a different view of this world, and I saw God for the first time. But I want to tell you, people, that can die out. You know, like what I said earlier, I cannot necessarily, I can tell my brain, hey, I'm going to hold my breath as long as I can, but eventually I'm going to gasp for air. Spiritually, we can choke ourselves to death. We can't. We can walk away from God and say, I don't need you anymore. And you want to know how I know? Because God put two trees in the garden. He gave us an option. Let me ask those who are married or in relationships or even just those who, you know, we have relationships. If you don't have trust, do you have love? don't, right? And if you don't have choice to be with the one that you are with, do you necessarily have love? If you're forced to be with somebody, is that love? No. So two things there that the trees offer. A choice, right? And trust. God set them there and said, don't eat of this tree. This is the knowledge of good and evil, and it will kill you. It will kill you. And it sat there. Can you imagine that? Like, it just sits there. And I don't think there's anything mythical about the trees. I think it was just God said, these two trees. And the moment that, you know, Eve took it and then Adam took it, it wasn't mythical. It wasn't like anything. It wasn't a Disney story once they ate the apple that they were like, went to sleep. It was because they disobeyed God. They didn't trust him that they realized everything around them. They realized, I want to be God of myself, not God. I don't want God to be my God. And they broke the trust. You see, God desires a genuine relationship with you. He doesn't desire this to be mechanical. He doesn't desire this to be robotic. He doesn't desire this to be forced. He wants a genuine relationship with you. Personal. I think about the times that my kids were born. Each time, I was overwhelmed. The first time, scared to death. Jackson came. I wasn't really working at a job that I was going to be successful at. Found out, oh, we're having a kid. Can we do this over? That was going through my head, right? Oh, panic. I get him. He's put in my arms for the first time. Overwhelmed with joy, fear, love that I didn't know before. And I remember sitting at the window holding my son, looking outside at the parking lot going, God, don't let me mess this up. God, this little baby boy is yours. Is in your hands. May he know who you are. May he be protected by you. May I be a good servant. May I tend and protect to my son. Did the same thing with my daughter. Instantly laid him back at the throne of God and asking God, teach me how to be a dad. Teach me how to be a father that needs to be there. Teach me how to be a husband that needs to be there for this family. And I think about those moments and I go, God created us to have these kind of relationships with him. To be intimate. And in order to do that, guess what we need to be breathing in? We need to be breathing in His scripture. We need to be breathing in those moments of prayer. We need to be breathing in those conversations that we have with God. More and more and more and more every day. It's needed. It gives life. The less we do it, the less alive we feel. And we're overwhelmed with the knowledge of good and evil. We live in fear and not trust. Think about that. Do we trust God today? Are we overwhelmed by the chaos that we see on the news? Are we overwhelmed by the impending doom of what's to come? See, we say it so often. Who wins this? Who wins it? Come on, people. God wins, right? But I hear some of our stories and I see some of our posts and I think we're overwhelmed by the fear of not trusting God. He's bigger than all these issues, is he not? then we need to believe it, and we need to trust in him. Nowhere in Scripture it says to put your trust and faith in people, right? No. You put your trust and faith in God. And in turn, guess what happens? We trust and have faith with people because we are already in line with God. So when they fail us, I'm able to look to them through God's eyes. My wife's not perfect. I know it's a surprise to some of you. But if I demanded her to be perfect, and she failed me, and I just write her off from that point on, what have I also done to myself? I've put that judgment on myself. Now, it's easier to forgive my wife most of the time. I don't know if she would say the same about me. Right? I do a lot of stupid things, like get COVID. My fault. During the busiest time, we're trying to move. Couldn't lift a box. Got COVID. Right? Didn't even have to do dadly things anymore. Anyway. It was vacation. But the more that I look through God's eyes and have him in me, guess what? I breathe him in. What am I going to exhale? God. And what does God bring? He brings peace. He brings love. He brings forgiveness. He is requiring you to tend to the things that need to be tended to. And sometimes those things realm within your family. Sometimes those things realm within your work. Sometimes those things realm within your neighborhood. And you are called, when you breathe him in, to be aware of those things. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not your pastor's job to tend to the areas that you are called to tend to. It is your job. You are called. Now, I am called to lead and love and be there and support and also be there a part of that. Don't get me wrong. I know what I'm called to do. I'm still trying to learn too. But you are not off the hook. You are called. If you breathe in God, if you've been resurrected with Jesus Christ, if you have that hope, guess what you are called to do? Bring that hope to a world that needs it. Read all Genesis 2, and that is what you are called to do. You have that life. You have that ability, whether you are new or old to this game. I know for me, usually my 20 years of ministry, those who get saved are on the most fire for God, which is weird, right? You would think it would be the opposite way around. Those who have been with God and had more moments with God and have seen God work, we have a tendency to go, it's not new to me. Am I right? And that breath that we breathe in becomes stale. My worry for you today is knowing what you've been breathing in. Are you breathing in God's Spirit? Or has it become stale? And the only thing that is stale about it is how you breathe it in, not God's Spirit. It is our attitude, it is our heart, it is our awareness of that. And if we're breathing it through a filter that goes, okay, but this, God, you need to do this for me. Okay, God, this world is horrible, and so I'm going to act this way. So this part of my life, I'm going to filter out what you've called me to do, love my neighbor, love my enemy. Instead, I'm going to gossip about them. I'm going to bring chaos to this situation because I don't know how else to handle it. You see, when we breathe in God fully without any filters, We can't be any other way than how God has been with us. You see, God forgave me of everything. Everything. He has forgiven you of everything. Every horrible thing you've ever said, thought, been a part of, he's forgiven you. Praise God, right? Praise God, right? So think about when we take that in, how it needs to be lived out from this point on. I had a debate with a conversation with another pastor. And we talked about how, you know, what if somebody is hurting somebody? How do you live that out in that moment? Does God call that person that's being hurt to forgive them? Yes. But the question came, so what do you do with that? What does forgiveness look like? Do you put yourself back in a situation that you can be hurt again? No, absolutely not. You can forgive from afar. You can forgive through a text. You know where you need to really forgive from? Your heart. Your heart. I've seen it in my own life that the pain and agony and hate and frustration that I had buried deep within for one person became my anchor, became my downfall. Only affected me. And that person lived their life scot-free. And the anchor around me, my neck, was my own unforgiving heart. I will tell you this, too. The power of forgiveness is huge. It's huge. The moment I accepted Christ in my heart, the moment that God worked on that hate and that anger and that frustration in my heart, the moment that I was able to finally be released from it and be able to breathe fully again, guess what I did? I was overwhelmed that I had to go to that person and say, hey, man, I forgive you. I know you haven't even asked, but I forgive you. I love you. Even though you were never a part of my life, even though you weren't there for me, even though these things I feel like were just so painful that I didn't have, I forgive you. God used. And I know every situation is different. But when you follow God, even as painful as it can be, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And the more that we exhale God, the more alive we become. Trust me. Choose the tree of life. You have a choice. Trust God, choose God, or don't. But when you trust God and you choose God, what you are telling God is you love God with all your life, with all your being. That's there. And when you do those two things, guess what tends to happen with all the rest of your relationships? I have found myself, the ones that have failed me, I tend to trust even more. And even though they fail me again, God is bigger and better. And I have a tendency to not even use it or hold it. Now, it does give me the opportunity, if God uses, if I'm in the Spirit and I have that moment, I'm going to say something. You said this and you did this. That hurt. But I want you to know, I still love you. I care about you. God has called me to be better and to bring peace and understanding in that moment. To be alive, this is what it means. To be alive is to take in God and live out God. To not put the filters up and go, okay, I can do this, but I can't do that. You either trust him or you don't. There's no in between. And I want you to know there has been times in my life, even taking this position, becoming your senior pastor, I sat there and I was like, God, no, 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 no. The first time somebody reached out, Riley reached out to me, I instantly wrote back, no, thank you for the thought. I am not your one. And of course, guess what happened? I did not sleep for a week. And I thought, did I eat something the first night? And then I thought, am I not feeling well? And then the rest of the 3 or 4 nights that I had from that point on, I just got up and prayed.
And then I was convicted because God put this in front of me. I didn't even give it a try. I wasn't even willing to walk through that door. So, of course, I wrote him back and was like, if it's still there, sure, I guess. And it wasn't against you, but it was on me whether or not God could really use me. And I think a lot of us fit into that peg. That we go, yeah, I would want to live for God, but I don't think God can use me. The reality is, He needs you to protect and serve and to love His creation. He's given you that. So I charge you, how are you breathing, like, spiritually? Have you been taking in God? And usually, you know, the greatest identifier is how we act with people. Because that's what squeezes us. When we're squeezed, what happens? We excel. We bring out. And how do we react to those? Are we kind? Are we gracious? Are we loving? Is that our first interaction? Or are we like, I just want to knock his head off. I'm just done with it. Oh, cut me off. I'll cut you off. Then I'll stop short. Like, these are some of our reactions, is it not? Is it just me? Like, we get into that role, right? But what I'm telling you, if the more that we have God in us, guess what changes? Our heart changes. And we start to go, hey, maybe our waitress just didn't have a good day. And I need to be that shining light. I need to give her hope. Maybe the person that is just in front of me, yeah, they got an emergency and they just need to get something. Or they're just oblivious to this world and you just need to love them. It changes everything of how we interact and how we take it. So my question for you today is, how are you breathing? And what's it sound like? What are you doing? What are you breathing out? God. And are you trusting God? Are you ready to trust God with everything? Because reality is that the moment that we are, He's going to put you in situations that you get to share God's love. And it can be scary. It can be frustrating. It can be one of those ones He's going to call you to forgive somebody that it feels like it's unforgivable. But He's called you to it. And the more you breathe Him in and the more you trust Him and you choose Him, it is easier to love people. Trust Him. The more you love God, the easier it is to love people. And also it changes the way you look at this world. It changes how you see the news. Yes, it's desperate. Yes, it's horrible. We live in a time that is chaotic.